Hey, greetings from Sunnyvale, California, which is close to San Francisco, with a semi-Texas accent. Good morning, y'all. Anyone else from Texas before? All right. I'm new here. The last time I preached here probably was like, 13 or 15 years ago? Physically. All right. Last time I preached here through the video is during the pandemic. Jeffrey asked me for help, so I did one sermon on video. So I'm new here, so I want to know you a little bit. Let me ask you, if anyone of you actually lives in Hong Kong regularly and attend Yan Fook English Worship regularly and see it as your spiritual home, raise your hands. This is not something that should be ashamed of. Raise your hands high. All right. Who would be like me, like a visitor? Because I just came back from California to visit my parents. If you're a visitor passing by, raise your hands. Okay, almost like one third of you guys. And then the last question. If you understand a little bit of Chinese, I mean Cantonese, please raise your hands. Should I preach in Cantonese? All right, just kidding. You know. All right, okay. Let's start the preaching then. So I know how many of you understand Cantonese. All right. When you see today's sermon as chaos, you can take a look at the PowerPoint. The title is chaos. There you go. Do not misunderstand. I am talking about the movie from 1985, the Japanese movie Ren Lun, directed by Akira Kurosawa. Who is a movie fanatic of Hak Jia-ming? You guys too young to be watching Hak Jia-ming's movie? All right, this is a very famous movie. It influenced a lot of people, including Johnny To. Do you know Johnny To? No? Oh my God. Okay, let's start with a quick Q&A. I'm going to mention a couple situations. And then you tell me when I mention these situations, if you would think of the word chaos or chaotic. All right? Okay, the first situation is, how many of you, no matter it is in your home or it is in your workplace, you have recycle station? Like a bin for cans, a bin for paper, a bin for trash. Who has that? Okay, if you see that one day, you find that someone is throwing the cans into the paper bins, or you see the people throwing trash into the can bins, would you think of the word chaos? If you do, raise your hands. Okay, so not that many people care about recycling at all. Okay, all right, the second one is, in society today, you heard about there is a lot of phone scams, and people got abducted to KK Yun in Taigot Media. I don't know what the English is. Will you think of the word chaos? Raise your hands. All right, now more people are more interested. Okay, number three, if you see the division splitting up a church, would you think of the word chaos? Number four, when you see the fire of Tai Po on the news 1 month ago, does the word chaotic, chaos appears in your mind? Right? Last one. The Russian-Ukrainian war has been dragging on for almost like 2.5 to 3 years. Does that war make you think of the word chaos? If you do, raise your hands. So you see, in our lives, there are a lot of situations which is chaotic, which is chaos, and we do not like it. Have you ever wondered why chaos arises, and what is the reason for chaos? I truly believe that like every normal person, I'm saying every normal person, would like to live a life in a better environment, to live in harmony, to live in reasons, to live with blessings, instead of being in a chaotic situations, right? So today we are going to look at the Bible from the Proverbs chapter 29:18. We are looking from God's word to find out one important reason about why there is chaos. And then from the same Bible passage, we are going to find a solution. And then at the end of the sermon, I'm going to give you a couple reminders of how to apply the teachings that we learned from the Proverbs 29:18 today in our life to bring chaos back to order. So remember, today we're from Proverbs 29:18. We are going to find out one important reason why chaos arises. And then we are going to find out a solution of it. And then we are going to learn to how to apply it in our life so that we can reverse the chaos back to order. But right now, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for giving us the Word of God to guide us and to help us to know more about your will and help us to live out your word so that we can be a good Christian in your eyes and live a God-pleasing life. May the Spirit work among us. Help us to understand the textual intent of the word and help us to live out your word so that on earth we can be a good witness of Jesus Christ and glorify your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, first of all, I would like all of us to read out the scripture from Proverbs 29:18a, just the first part with Pastor Jeffrey. Pastor Jeffrey, please lead us to read 29:18a.
Proverbs 29:18a.
I mean all of us reading aloud with Pastor Jeffrey. All right, let's do it.
Let's read together. When there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint.
Okay, now here is the tough question. How many of you actually remember this word in Chinese? It's 没有意象,闻就放肆. If you understand what I just said in Cantonese, raise your hands. Okay, only half of it. Okay, I know what to do now. So most of us, like living in Hong Kong or understand Cantonese, will remember this word. It's 没有意象,闻就放肆. Proverbs 29:18a tells us one of the reasons why chaos arises. But sometimes when we read from this passage, we may think that when there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint, and we may think, hey, is it moving? Okay. We may think this Bible verse has nothing to do with me at all. Do you know why? There are at least like three reasons I can think of. Number one, it says when there is no prophetic vision, correct, right? Then we would think, what is a vision? Vision probably is talking about God using a supernatural means to display a picture or scene in my mind to communicate with me, and that vision belongs to the prophets. Any one of us claims to be a prophet, please raise your hands. No. You are a prophet, right? Are you? Okay, all right, okay. If you say yes, I don't know what to say. Okay, so we are all ordinary people. And we may think that, hey, that's prophetic vision. So it is the prophet's problem if he doesn't get the vision from God. So people cast off restraint. I am an ordinary person. I am not a prophet. So prophetic vision has nothing to do with me. Right? That's number one reason. But number two, you probably will think about, oh, when there's no vision, that means God is not communicating with people. That maybe is pointing to the period of the 400 years of silence between the New Testament and the Old Testament. We call it 沉默四百年, in the 400 years of silence, right? So this is talking about the old times. I am not living in that period, so it has nothing to do with me. The number three reason is, right now it says no vision. That means God does not communicate with people, so people cast off restraint. We know that for us today, the canon is complete. We have no more universal revelation as new scripture, right? So it is God himself who chooses to stop communicating with us in the form of scripture, so people cast off restraint. It's not my problem, it's God's problem. Don't you realize when we think this way, all the above three arguments can easily make us think this verse has nothing to do with us, right? But let me tell you this. This Bible verse has everything to do with every one of us throughout all ages, no matter you are following God or not. Let me tell you why. So I want to tell you, in fact, this verse is very much related to every one of us. But in order to understand why it is important and relevant to us, we have to study this Bible verse very carefully with in-depth analysis. We have to first understand what is the meaning of vision. And in the Hebrew word, it is called chazon. Don't imitate my pronunciations of Hebrew. If you do want to learn how to pronounce Hassan, talk to Dr. Philip from Yanfuk Seminary, the Vice President. How many know of Philip? right? You know, he is our Si Heng, right? He's older than me, I'm older than Jeffrey. You know, we are all from Dada Seminary. So talk to him, Hassan. We need to understand what's the meaning of Hassan. Now, in the Old Testament, there are basically two major explanations for Hassan. Number one is just what I talk about, the vision. God using a supernatural means to display a picture or a scene in my mind to communicate with me. We call it vision, V-I-S-I-O-N, all right? That's the first explanation. But the second explanation of Hassan throughout the Old Testament, it is referring to the scripture, God's revelations, God's word. Okay, this is very important. But which answer should be correct as the correct explanation of Hassan in Proverbs 29:18? We have to read the Bible text in its context to determine which meaning it should be. Now, in order to grasp the true meaning, we need to understand Proverbs 29:18 in its full context. Now, if we just read 29:18a without reading 29:18b, we probably will think prophetic vision is just talking about the vision, the supernatural means of displaying a picture in my mind. But we need to understand that Proverbs belongs to the Hebrew wisdom literature. Hebrew wisdom literature that includes like the Proverbs, the Psalms, and also Ecclesiastes, okay? And for all the Hebrew wisdom literature, they have a very distinct writing style, which is called parallelism. Do you know what is parallelism? Writing two lines of words, but they are in parallel with each other. All right? So if you look at these Bible words, take a look at it. When there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. And the second half, but the one who keeps the law, blessed is he. You probably can tell, you know, these two lines actually has opposite meanings. But the subject that they talked about are actually similar. So in parallelism, we call it antithetic parallelism, which means the two lines have opposite meanings, but the subject that they talk about, they are actually the same thing. So with such said, take a look at the PowerPoint. The vision in the first half is actually in, and the law in the second half are in parallel symmetry. You see that, right? Right? Okay. And the Hebrew word for law is Torah. Now, Torah, I mean, it's more saying Torah means pointing to the first five books of the Old Testament. Which are the first five books of the Old Testament? Can you tell me? Go! Genesis, number two. Exodus, when you think I'm going to ask you, I'm not. What about you? Huh? No, number the third book of the Old Testament. Yeah, I cannot pronounce that either. 創出利民申 I can do, but Leviticus, right? And then Numbers, and also what? 創出利民申 Okay, Deuteronomy, all right? These are the first five books of the Old Testament. That's the Torah. But the meaning of the word Torah means instructions, direction. So in the Old Testament, it is actually talking about, usually in the Old Testament, when you see the word Torah, it is talking about the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament, the Word of God, all right? So when you understand that, and then when you apply parallelism to understand Proverbs 29:18, you should see that prophetic visions and the law, which is the word of God, is in parallel. So it gives you an idea that the vision may not be talking about the supernatural means picture in your mind, but it is talking about the law, the word of God. So if you understand that, you will see that when there's no prophetic visions, it means when people do not live according to the word of God. All right? But also you have to understand that in the book of Proverbs, anyone remember the central idea of the book of Proverbs? Probably not. So everyone please read aloud the following passage, Proverbs 9:10 with Pastor Jeffrey. One, two, nine, ten. Okay, let's do it with Pastor Jeffrey. One, two, three.
The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord, and acknowledging the Holy One is understanding.
This is the central idea of the whole book. 敬畏耶和华是知识的开端，认识至圣者便是聪明。 This is the Cantonese version of 9:10, right? This is the whole central proposition of the whole book. So you can tell, like, the book of Proverbs is talking about God's wisdom, and it is urging God's community to learn God's wisdom so that you can live a good life on earth and live a pleased God-pleasing life. So with such said, that is one more example or a convincing argument that the prophetic vision in 29:18 actually is talking about God's wisdom, God's way, the word of God, instead of just the visual vision. But also you need to understand that for the book of Proverbs, there are actually like 8 different parts in the Proverbs. Most of the Proverbs is written by King Solomon. And 29:18 is belonging to the 5th sections of the Proverbs written by King Solomon, but compiled and recorded by the scribes ordained or ordered by the King Hezekiah at around like 700 BC. Now, if you read from the Old Testament, no matter if it is from the book of Chronicles or Kings, you can see that during the time of Hezekiah, God continued to speak to his people. All right, there are the Holy Spirit continued to inspire different authors to write out the Old Testament biblical books. So it is at that time, at that time of 29:18, God continues to communicate with people. So it is not the time that God doesn't speak. And also, most of the biblical scholars generally agrees that the book of Proverbs is actually completed around 700 BC, which is not the 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So with all the above arguments, we should understand that no prophetic vision, majorly it should mean when people do not live according to the word of God. When people do not live according to the word of God, what will happen? People cast off restraint. You see that? What we have been doing? We need to interpret the word of God properly, according to the historical background, according to the literary structure, which is the parallelism. We need to find out the textual intent so that we understand no prophetic vision means we do not live according to the word of God. Once we understand that, take a look at the Bible. Take a look at the warning proclaimed by King Solomon. It says people may cast off restraint. What does that mean? Now, I have a problem with reading these words in Cantonese, because 没有意象,对吗?文就放肆,放肆, in Cantonese, to me somehow is not that serious. It is like letting loose. Let's relax a little bit. I wonder how many of you are a Gunpla fans who build Gundam model kits. Please raise your hands. Don't feel ashamed. I like it, okay? Raise your hands high. All right, okay. How many of you know that the Gundam base has been opened in Hong Kong? Who plans to go to the Gundam base? Oh, only my son is being forced to raise the hands. Okay, you know, I may get cast off, you may think I may cast off restraint or fong si, huh? I will go to Gundam base, I am going to spend my year's red pocket money and buy all the special edition of Gundam plastic model kits. This is the cast off restraint you may think about. Or I may cast off restraint to let loose a little bit, like usually after months of tiring ministry, I will go to Costco in USA to buy some sticks, and I would definitely eat it with Coca-Cola. But that kind of cast off restraints only happens a couple times in a year. It's no big deal. But you have to understand that the cast off restraint in this Bible verse is a way, way bigger issue. All right? Let me tell you why. Cast off restraint, what does it really mean? In the Hebrew word, cast off restraint is parai. So it means run wild, let loose, and the whole thing fall into a lawless state. It descends into chaos. And when the biblical scholars look closely to the usage of Hassan with parai, cast off restraints in the Old Testament, you know, in the cast off restraint, this will only happen once in Proverbs, which is 29:18. But whenever this word cast off restraints happens in Old Testament, it is during the times of disasters. It is the time God used prophets to call his people back to repentance, to return to God. So the scholar tells us, cast off restraint right here, it means fall into anarchy, fall into a complete chaos. But pay attention. It is not you individually fall into chaos. The author says, it is the whole nation falls into chaos. You know, in the Hebrew words, arm is referring to a nation, a country. So it is very clear, if every one of us do not live according to the word of God, the whole country, the whole nation will fall into anarchy, fall into complete chaos. Now you understand the meaning of cast off restraint. It is no longer spending $1,000 in the Gundam base. It is no longer like drinking 3 cans of Coke during one meal. It is the whole country falling into anarchy. I don't believe any one of us would like to live in a chaotic situation like that. But thank God, in Proverbs 29:18, it provides a solution. Please read out 29:18, both part A and part B with Pastor Jeffrey together. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3.
When there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But the one who keeps the law, blessed is he.
The solution is in part B. The one who keeps the law, blessed is he. And we know that we already explained that the law actually refers to the Old Testament, for the Old Testament time people. But for you and me, the law will be representing both New Testament and the Old Testament, which means the whole Word of God. So the solution is, when we live according to the Word of God, blessed will be us. Okay? So you have to understand that, like, right now, remember, like, this word blessed is very different. It also means happiness, but it's different from the ordinary happiness. The Hebrew word ashar. Did you teach the congregation to read NET Bible, the New English Translation? Oh, come on, you're a Dallas grad, man. Okay, NET Bible, New English Translation, is the English translation of the original language translated, interpreted by Dallas Seminary professor, okay? And if you use the NET Bible, you will find that they have a lot of footnotes telling you why they translate such word into such English and give you a lot of hints, okay? A lot of good information. If you read from the NET Bible will tell you that the word ashar is actually meaning a kind of deep joy that comes from being reconciled with God and experiencing him. It is a happiness and blessing that comes from God, rather than normal, ordinary happiness arises from different circumstances. So right here, the word ashar, blessed, means joy and happiness come from God, because of God. Not the ordinary happiness that I go to Gundam base and get myself 10 boxes of gunpla, okay? It's different. So this is a joy from God. So Proverbs 29, remember, it is written by King Solomon. And in the Bible, we know that King Solomon is being called the wisest person in the whole world, right? So this is a community teaching. So King Solomon right here is teaching the community, teaching all of us, teaching the people of God. If you live without the word of God, the whole country is going to be in a chaotic situation. But if we live according to the word of God, we will be blessed. What kind of life would you like to live? You tell me. And do you think that Proverbs is actually true? Do you think when people do not live according to the word of God, chaos will arise? And if people live according to the word of God, he will be blessed. Do you believe that? Let me ask you a couple questions. No, I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm going to make a couple statements. I truly believe if people live out the biblical teaching to be diligent and would like to live a content life, there will be less chaos caused by robbery and scams. Do you agree? I believe if the construction companies are honest, not greedy, and follow the righteous regulations, the fire in Taipei can be avoided. I believe that if Christians or church leaders vow to stand firm for the word of God and vow to honor God's name all the time, there will be less church division. And I truly believe if all the countries live out the biblical command of loving one another, there will be no war. Do you see the truthfulness of God's word? Do you see the power of God's word? Have you noticed that King Solomon first points out that the chaos among the nations and the solution he provides actually not start from the country, but from every one of us individually? Now, if you want your society and your nation to be prosperous, to be in a peaceful situation, not to be in a chaotic situation, I would ask you to consider the literal meanings of the words spoken by U.S. President JFK, John F. Kennedy Jr., back in 1961. Take a look at the clip.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Do it one more time, please.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for the country. Imagine that if every one of us start with ourselves and start living our lives according to the word of God, what will happen to your country, to my country? Have you ever thought of that? So now you understand Proverbs 29:18 actually is challenging us. Do not live without God's word, else the surroundings around you is going to be chaotic. But if you live according to the word of God, yeah, you will be blessed. Your society will be blessed, and your country will be blessed. So basically, it is just simple. Do not sin. So mundane. So regular. So 普通, normal. But we still sin, right? So here am I going to give you like some reminders of how to live out today's teachings in your daily lives. I also have to learn that. I also have to live that. So I'm going to give you three pairs of reminders, okay? But actually, there are six reminders, but I'll just put it as three pairs. So each pair is one negative warning and one positive encouragement. So I hope you remember that and start with yourself. The first reminder I would like to give you so that you can live out today's teaching is the first reminder to live out God's truth so that we can be blessed. Number one, do not interpret the Bible by your personal preference or bias, but to interpret the Bible accurately. It sounds simple, but it's difficult. But listen to me one more time. Do not interpret the Bible according to your own preference or bias, but to interpret the Bible accurately. What's going on, man? Okay. So let me give you an example. Many, many years ago, I read an article which says the Bible actually supports homosexuality. Do you believe that? In the article, because they say, hey, it is okay to be gay, it is okay to be lesbian, because in the Old Testament, when David and Jonathan saw each other, they kiss. You know they kiss, right? But you have to interpret the Bible accurately, because in the Bible, you need to interpret the text according to the historical culture. In the historical culture of the Jewish people, when they kiss, that means they kiss on the forehead or on the cheek. It's just a tradition of greetings. But if you interpret the Bible according to your own personal preference or your own bias, of course you will say that Jonathan and David are gay. And then people will start, based off this false truth, start ordaining gay pastor and preaching false truth, which is false truth. I don't know why it is called false truth. So some wrong ideas in the church. And don't you think that kind of behavior will bring chaos into church? Now remember, God loves all kind of people. God loves gay people too. God just doesn't like the sins. We have to love that kind of people and help them to understand what God wants and help them to understand God's love. But we should never change the truth of the word just to make friends. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm from San Francisco. I have some gay friends. I have some gay Christian friends. They all know that I'm a pastor. I do not agree with their living behavior, but I love them as my good friends. All right? So don't misunderstand me. So this is the thing. You need to interpret the Bible accurately in order to live according to God's word. So remember the first reminder I gave you, okay? Do not interpret the Bible according to your own bias or own, you know, personal preference, but interpret the Bible accurately. And then the second reminder that I'm going to give it to you is, okay, the second reminder is, do not think that you are an exception. Do not think that you are above the rules. You have to always fear God. The negative warning, don't think that you are an exception. The positive encouragement, you got to fear God always. So if you read the news from different Christian communities, you will see that quite a bit of Christian church leaders or church senior pastor, they have to resign because people find out they have sexual harassment, right? One of the reasons might be because they think they are in such a high position. No one will be there to touch them. They think they are the exception. They are above the rules. But God is just. When the truth is being revealed, they have to step down. And think about how many Christians' faith was stumbled because of their bad testimony. Because of what they think they are. They are above the rules. No one can touch them. Right? So we have to always fear God to live according to the word of God. And we are not exception. All right? Second pair of reminders. Do not think you're an exception. And fear God. And the third pair of reminders is like this. I'm going to read it to you. Just that I don't make trouble for myself. The last detailed reminder, if I want to put it into the most polite way, is this. Do not use negative circumstances to justify your improper behavior. But instead, use positive vision to encourage yourself to stay committed to the goal. Let me repeat it one more time. Do not use negative circumstances to justify your improper behavior. Instead, use the positive vision to encourage yourself to stay committed to the goal. Now, what does that mean? I'm just going to give you a very, very simple illustration. Remember we talked about the recycle bin in the beginning of the sermon? Let's say one day, after work, you work late, 9, 8 p.m., you are leaving the office, and then you see the janitor cleaning up the office, and you see him putting trash into the cans recycle bin, and then you see him putting like unfinished Coca-Cola into the paper bin. Would you say, oh, all the janitors in the whole wide world is doing such a bad thing, they do not follow the rules, therefore I will no longer follow the recycling rules, and I am going to put trash into the paper can, and I'm going to put the cans into the trash bin. I'm going to mess up the system. If you would do that, raise your hands. Probably by public pressure, you are not going to raise your hands even if you do, right? Do I have to explain anymore? Do not use negative circumstances to justify your improper behavior. We believe in recycle. We keep recycling no matter how bad other people is. Let me give you this reminder in Cantonese in the most non-polite way. 唔好用你低能嘅藉口嚟 justify 你低能嘅行動。For us, it happens to all of us many times, right? So I gave you like three pairs of reminders. Let me repeat it to you. Number one, do not interpret the Bible by your personal preference or bias, but to interpret the Bible accurately. Number two, do not think you are an exception. Always fear God. Number three, do not use negative circumstances to justify your improper behavior, but to stay true to your committed goals. You probably think the sermon is done. No. In raising children, if you always justify excessive leniency whenever your kids say no or rebel, and you fail to discipline your children according to the biblical truth, treating your kids as your personal idols, everything one day will surely fall into chaos. The Cantonese is called 公主病。有冇王子病啊？冇噶係嘛？你講先，你 you tell me. Your bro. We stay off from personal family matters, okay? All right? So think about that. So if you are a parent, understand the word accurately and also teach your kids about God's word accurately. Remember the book of Proverbs is about the wisdom. You have to gain true wisdom. You have to teach your kids to have the godly wisdom so that they will be blessed by God, right? In a marriage, if you always say, hey, my spouse will never change, 我家个咩婆或者咩公永远都唔会改嘅。If you always use this kind of negative assumptions to ignore the power of the word of God in changing people, of course your marriage is going to fail. So keep on. Remember the book of Ephesians chapter 5, how to build a strong marriage in Christ, and keep doing it. When a husband and wife's relationship is good, your kids will live a better family life and they will have a better chance to success in living out God's wisdom. But if a husband and wife's relationship is bad, it will definitely affect the children and he might, and then the parents probably might fall into having affairs. What about the kids? What will happen to them? So your home, your family will fall into anarchy, chaos. Now you see how important it is to understand and live out Proverbs 29:18. And even for Christian service, like serving in church, we got to live out this teaching. There was one time I'm a consultant pastor of a worship missionary organization. There was one time they tell me, they went to a place in, I cannot disclose the location. So they went out to do mission. And what happened is the local Christian, one day came to them and told them, hey, I have duplicated your worship song CDs in abundance and distribute to all the people in my town. I just did not ask for your permission. So my missionary friends asked me, we are Christians. Don't we need to follow some righteous regulations like the copyright? So you have to ask yourself, even if I am serving God, does it give me an excuse, a legitimate excuse to ignore the integrity that a Christian should bear? So think about that. Sometimes when you do serve God, especially Prof. Praise Team, I hope you get all your copyright from your songs, right? Do we say because we serve God, we can do whatever we want? Don't ever try that. So brothers and sisters, today I think you probably understand what is the textual intent or the authorial intent or the true meaning of Proverbs 29:18. If you live without God's word, your life is going to be chaotic. But if you live according to the word of God, your life will be blessed. So just starting from today, think about in what area of your lives you need to be corrected by the Spirit. What area you need to follow God's rules so that you can reverse the chaotic situation in your life to have a peace and order and be blessed by God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we give thanks for giving us your Word of God so that we understand God's will, so that we know how much you love us. Sometimes we always think following your rules is a restraint, but actually it is a good restraint that we do not go astray, we do not fall into anarchy. So help us to appreciate the wisdom of the Word of God and help us to live out the Word of God. Every one of us right here, we may have some shortcomings or weakness in our life. We humbly ask you, help us in this specific weakened area. We will try to find answers from God's Word. We will interpret God's Word accurately, and we will never think we are the exception. We will fear God, and we will live out your Word so that we can experience you. We may be blessed. And because we are having a good life out of obedience, we can influence our community so that our community, our society, our nation will also be blessed. And we can, with your help, reverse the chaos back into order. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right.